right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Mega Sheen, your podcast for all things gay and geeky from a Black queer perspective. I am Victor.
And I'm Nick. And what's been going on, Victor, these past couple of weeks in good old LA?
Well, I was in Seattle for 1 week. I had to go for a conference. It was cold and rainy. But, you know, it's Seattle and it's fun. You can always get some good food over there. And I did. And right now it's really nice. We're in 70 degrees, no rain. It's, you know, nice weather. We had this time last week, the traffic was crazy because it was the Oscars, like 3 miles down the street and from where I'm at right now. And so it was a lot, including a protest that only had like 20 something people, but besides that kind of died out quick, and you know, everything else went along with that. But I wasn't actually here for that. I was actually, like I was saying, in Seattle, and now I'm back and all that good stuff. How about yourself?
I've been okay for the most part. I'm just dealing with my back issues now, on top of all the other stuff I have been going through. I might need to see like a physical therapist for my back now. And that's really irritating the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Like, trying to get into the healthy state, and there's always something that comes up. I'm always injured, or always this, or even with the meal planning, it's almost, I'm having thoughts that, is this what I want to do, like, full time? You know, like, do I want to be so conscious of what I eat at all times, every hour, on the hour, 365 days, 24 hours? It just seems like it's not sustainable. And I don't know. I'm just having second guesses on what does fitness and being in physically good shape look like for me, that doesn't make me have like an adverse or a bad relationship with food.
Right. And that's always the tough thing, especially when you try to, like, how do people do it? But then when you kind of listen to what they do, it is kind of like, ooh, that's a lot. And for what? And I get it, because it's like, for example, when you try to meal prep, I'm that person that I can't do it for a full week. I can maybe do like maybe 2 days, because I eating chicken, you can only season chicken out for so long. And then in some ways, you're not even supposed to do it. You know how we season stuff. So you're not even supposed to season it the way that we would season it to enjoy it. So it's like, how do you even do it for a week?
Yeah, I've had to do it for a few weeks, and it's just like, I can't do this consistent same thing every goddamn day, and it's making me really fucking upset. Like,
yeah. Like, I look back, I was able to like be more fit during the pandemic, even though for some people that wasn't the case. I don't know, because it was like, well, we were limited where we could go. When you went to the grocery store, you could only get in there and get it. Like, you know, it was limits. I don't know how it was easy for me to do it then versus now. But then how do you maintain it? And how do you, because it's not easy to maintain, you know, especially on the go. And also financially, it's not. Like, if you think about it, to get a nice protein drink, that's like, what, $12. But the same $12, you get a full meal You can almost eat for at least lunch and dinner at KFC. You know, you can like get like I got a bucket of chicken for $12, and that's gonna last me for this. You know, it's just really interesting, like how it financially to try to be fit is not really, it doesn't really work.
It doesn't like you're spending all of this money on this food for like a short amount of time, and you have to. It's just really frustrating me, and I don't know how long I can do this with this trainer.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to say I don't want to do this anymore when it comes to that, or if it will come to that.
Well, maybe y'all can talk through like, can we look at something different? Can we try a new alternative or something? Because hopefully, I mean, trainer, I always believe that trainers are supposed to know how to adapt. So we'll, you have to keep us posted. What you gonna do?
We'll see. But in the meantime, let's get to some of these topics that have been going around pop culture and, well, geek culture specifically, and queer culture. Let's start with some video games. So 2024 has been really crappy as far as games are concerned. Just as of, and I know this number is has changed since then, probably, as of February 28th of this year, almost 8,200 jobs have been lost in the video game industry. And it sucks because a lot of these hirees were moved, had to move to these expensive ass locations like a California or like a Texas or like a New York. And now they're left with no money, no job, and a high ass cost of living. And it doesn't look like those layoffs are going to subside. Back in 2023, 17.8% of the people that were laid off were design, 14.8 were production, and 14.3 were art. So it looks like a lot of the layoffs are specifically geared, or there's an increase in design character or creative positions terminated. And it almost just puts this disadvantage at workers that if they're nothing more than like gig work,
Yeah.
like contract work, or something that's just a very temporary thing. And I don't know how the video game industry has gotten away with this for so long. And it doesn't seem like nobody is willing to fix it. It's just like, oh well, sucks. You got your chance in the sunlight. Now he's like, go on to greener pastures. And it's just like, how is this able to be maintained for so long? And how can we change it to protect these workers?
Yeah, because I remember it was issues of like these workers were like working like sleeping like for what 30 minutes and then going right back into work, and then some of them were not eating, and then the pressure put on the like this has to be completed very soon. It just felt like they were like doing like slave labor, like it, the way they were like explaining like, oh, they were literally like surviving off of like sugar packets, and that was crazy.
Right. And like they had them working like Hebrew slaves up through there. And like, even if that wasn't bad enough, the hostile work environment, God forbid if you were a woman or a minority, then you have to deal with that bullshit. And I think shareholders and the public have partially to blame for this because customers want the new thing. They want it right now and they don't want to wait. Shareholders want to make money, and the more money, the more of their product is in customers' hands, the more they make money. So move product as quickly as possible. So it's just like a damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of situation when it comes to these game developers.
Works well. And yet it's interesting because also the quality of games have been called out lately, and the storytelling within the stories, and I wonder how much AI has a role in, like, I just saw for the first time how AI works, like the chat GPT, like when someone there was like, this is how it works. They put in, like, if you wanted a script based off of Sally and John going to a restaurant during a zombie apocalypse, it would, and you say about a 5 minute story or a 5 minute script, it just kind of comes out. I was sitting there like, this is really scary.
Scary, yeah.
And I'm seeing, like, more places are like, well, we're moving towards AI, moving towards AI. Even some comic places are moving into that and looking for positions. And I'm just like, really? Or this is where we're going? So I don't know. I don't know how much that will, I don't know, because some people are saying, well, AI with video games makes sense. I'm like, does it make sense? I don't know. It's kind of scary to see where we're going with all this.
I think there's a place for it, in terms of, healthcare, in terms of scientific breakthroughs, defensive capabilities, military capabilities. I get that. But to say that, oh, this AI is going to replace this creative functioning human that can draw different stories together and just rely on a computer is really just gross on so many levels.
Yeah. And I think that we even saw, I don't know, it was on Twitter when someone was using AI, only just to show that all the mistakes it really makes when it comes to even doing panels on comics. So I don't know. I don't know where we are heading with this. I don't want to say it feels bleak, but it also just kind of feels like, with so many layoffs in the video game industry, something has to give in a sense of, like, how is it done? Do they need to be in this area? Because, yeah, further down in Silicon Beach in LA, that's where a lot of the video game places live, Venice Beach, as well as in that area. And that's near LMU, for those of you who are somewhat familiar with LA, but not. Silicon Beach is right over there where a lot of video games, YouTube is over there, Google's over there, Facebook or Meta. So a lot of these places are over in that space and area, and again, closer to Venice Beach too. Is that that's an expensive area. And so to expect people to, like, move over and to do this, but yet not pay them or lay them off is kind of ridiculous. But also for some of these places to not allow, now not to allow the work from home option, because that's also been something that has been removed from different companies now. Which worked well for those who didn't have to move here. But now they do want them here for accountability or whatever they claim that the reason why they need to have them here. So I don't
Because they
know.
need to pay this rent on these high office buildings that they leased out.
That's very
That's
true.
what that is.
And that's a good point that you bring. It is very high here. And it's also very, sometimes it's sad when you drive around Los Angeles and you see the buildings that are empty, but you remember where they was filled. Like when I even just walk from here to the gym, there are a couple of places that are, you see the, renting out, or, call, Jay Luss. I'm mispronouncing his last name, but that name is everywhere because these spaces, people cannot afford these spaces.
That's a I noticed that when I was in Cincinnati some time ago, like property and the cost of living, not just in a California or in New York, a cost of living countrywide is just so expensive now. I was looking at houses here in Lexington, and to get what I want, basically I would have to be paying like 350, maybe four, to get a good house that I would like. And like it's just really demoralizing and frustrated, like frustrating that we can't. People just basically want to live a safe, normal life and not be worried about bullshit. But the bullshit that we have to worry about is making enough money to survive. And that is like wild to me that people just don't want to see other people live because
True.
they're greedy.
Yeah. And I can't tell you in my neighborhood, not this neighborhood right now, but my neighborhood, that is the basic situation. 'Cause you where I'm at now, there's one block over. They have torn it down and literally put all the brand new buildings up. Where I live, my rent for my one bedroom, and I don't really care to share this out. It's 1460. And I'm fortunate to get a one bedroom apartment for that price because there are others that are 17. There are studios that are more than mine. They're 1600.
You are going to gag when I tell you how much I pay.
How much? And I'm
I have a two bedroom, one bath apartment with an unfinished basement that has about 900 square feet. I think I pay 7.65.
765. Let's see. I pay here. Oh, I'm at my partner's place. When I move here, it's going to be what I will be paying, something similar to what you're paying right now.
Like when it's like half, yeah.
Yeah. But where I'm at, yes, it is 1460 for it's not even that big. It's not even that big. I don't even have a hallway. So it's fascinating to me that what I have is one of the cheapest. And the neighborhood suffers for that, and the apartments suffer for that because, you know, what people don't understand is because rent's so high, people will pile up in a space. My apartment, I have a 525 square feet. That's not big. But the ones around me are 475, and there are four people.
Lord have mercy.
Yes. Now, I do throw some little shade and judge because they also have like four cars. And I'm like, you know, I don't know why you have four cars. Two of them are luxury cars. Don't know why you did that when you could take that money, because that's four cars. That means that's insurance on these four cars where you could probably maybe have one, maybe two, and use that money to get somewhere better. But because of the situation, that's how a lot of people live. And that trickles down to, oh, four people in an apartment. That means that's a lot more knocking and bocking around against the wall if you live under these people. Therefore, a person like me, who lives by themselves, who don't have all that, have to deal with that noise. And if some of y'all remember, I was living under people who had like three people consistently moving around until I moved over to where now I'm on a top building. But another thing that we're also noticing is that my complex, they're not even allowing no more than one. It's everybody they have rented to so far has been just a single person. They're not allowing any families. They're not even allowing two people. It's like just one. And one of my neighbors was like, he know, like he said, the writing's on the wall. They're literally, the prices are going up. We got in when he said the rent was like 1100 when we got in. I'm like, well, you and my apartment was redone, like literally redone. So that when they saw that, they was like, oh hell. I was like, oh yeah. For those are and people have been living in my place for 20 years, which I'm like, I've only been in mine almost three, and then once that lease is up, I'm over here. So I'm not even, no, 20 years. But that's because of the economy. They feel like they can only get as good as that, but they don't understand the wear and tear that that becomes an issue for them in the future, because the landlords will say like, oh, well, this place, we have to redo it. Are you coming back? No. Do you have the option to come back? Not really. It's going to go to somebody new. So, long tangent, y'all, but yes, these things play a big role because in California, especially in LA, Burbank area, Burbank has all the studios. Like all the major studios are in Burbank or in the Burbank area. The prices are very high, and then all of a sudden, more people who can't afford to live are coming into town. So neighborhoods like my other neighborhood are about to get just toppled because it's like that's opportunity to build brand new expensive spaces. But when you cut those jobs, then you have all these brand new expensive spaces that only go up because they have to, maintain, their upkeep. And then those who moved here because they thought it was a great, I'm like, I'm a tech person. Now they got to get roommates. Now they have to move to a place because of how this stuff has fallen out. So, again, y'all, long thing to this story, but there's just so much that plays with, living in a town or living in a city where these tech places are, how that really plays out for many of our, people who are just wanted, who just wanted to do something they really love.
Right. So let's talk politics. So it was announced, I want to say last week, a week before last, that turtle, that old Kentucky turtle, Mr. Mitch McConnell, is going to be stepping down as minority leader in November. So he's not running in November, which is very fascinating because if Mitch McConnell wheel and deal old car, just a terrible person, if he is getting out, then it is bad, like scarily bad. It's already scarily bad as of right now, but Mitch McConnell, I'm going to find a deal and I'm going to stab you in the back if it's the last thing I do is getting out. Then I don't know if we should be more optimistic about the chances of Biden winning again or more scared of the prospect if Trump loses.
My opinion on that, because there's a few other Republicans who announced last week that they're about to go. They're just out. And also, there was this retreat or something where there were plenty of them that were like talking to Mike Johnson, like, there's no way you're going to get us to come back because of the fact that their overall commitment to MAGA and their overall commitment to Trump, which is fascinating to me because I kind of believed that there, the old guard was going to come back. I feel like the old guard was going to be like at the end of the day, like they'll be in the room waiting for, like a for MAGA to come back, and they'd be like, "Hey," and then touch the button and things blow up. Like, and I'm
Like on Goodfellas when what's his name? Joe Pesci got shot when he went into the room when he
yeah, it's like that. Like I felt like they were,
big graphic.
yeah, and. We're, and I'm not saying that to happen. I'm just saying, like, in a way, like they want to come back and like, no, we got to, we're gonna topple this
Clean this shit up.
and get back to work. But they have all left. Those particular ones have left. And a part of my weird philosophy about that is they are leaving, so it can implode on themselves. If y'all actually pay attention to the primaries. Biden has been overperforming in his primaries, but Trump has been not performing up to what he was performing in 2020. It's been lower than, and the media has been, how the media likes to play things, but when you look at like what he had in Michigan in 2020 is not the same way he has now. his numbers are, meaning that people are not coming out for him, and not enough people will be coming out. And also, I'm optimistic because that we have to remember that Biden won by 10 million votes before, January 6th, and that has changed a lot. The donors who was giving Trump money are not there anymore.
Yes, I've heard that same report too.
Yeah, and so it's like he don't have the donors. They about to mess up the RNC, put his daughter-in-law in there, and she don't know what she's doing because she's up here trying to sing Tom Petty songs, and trying to re-release them.
That's not petty.
But
That's
yeah,
heartbreaking.
it's to a point that it's to me, it feels like it's Biden's election to lose. But also, and y'all, we have to remember that the whole Twitter thing, y'all, the reality, this is my reality, that Twitter is not real life. Because you will see people say all types of things on Twitter, but then when you watch the news or you see like Biden show up somewhere and people are all like, oh my God, I'm here to see him. I'm here to see Kamala. I'm here to blah, 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 or even some of that. So I do have high hopes that they want to continue on with a good economy. They want to see it get better. I know his thing is to go after the tax for the rich this next term, and I'm like, well, go, because that will help us get more money, maybe change things around. Republicans, I'm just like, I think y'all just need to burn it down and put the salt on the ground. Just do that, because the funny thing is, everything Trump's trying to do to stop these cases have failed, including Fannie Willis. Like, if y'all have watched what happened this week, the judge was like, well, it's up to Fannie if she wants to drop out or if she wants her the dude that she was messing with to drop out. And the dude was like, I will resign. And so, she's back on the case. So I feel like with these cases coming down, this man owes almost what, 500 million. It's ridiculous. I guess we're waiting on not the civil court, the Supreme Court, about can he d does he have that immunity because he was president, which does not seem likely either. So I'm optimistic because it just does not feel that he has enough to win, especially when he already lost by 10 million. And now he's lost so much from that time to now. And I wonder who really won. I mean, part of me is like, well, the reason why I think people are getting out because they don't want to deal with that man no more. They don't want to deal with him. They've had 4 years of him. And then you see him on the TV talking about it's going to be a bloodbath if I don't win. And sending Muslims away, even though they try to, do this uncommitted. He's like, well, I don't care what you do, I'm still sending y'all away. I'm like, he's telling you what he is going to do.
He has been telegraphing that and putting in black and motherfucking white what he is planning to do if he gets his big fat ass back in that office.
So I'm like, y'all need to be aware of that. And sometimes I believe, do you remember when they said that he was just saying stuff because he didn't think he was going to win in 2016?
You know what? I could, if a case is presented to me about that, I could believe it. Now, it doesn't matter if he believes it or not. He's just gonna feel this. I'm gonna win regardless. And if I lose, then I'm gonna win anyway. You know how he thinks.
And that's why I'm just like, y'all, pay attention, be ready. Will he lose gracefully? No. Who knows? He could be in jail by the time we even get to August. So, because the summer is the what he fears, which is one of the things he's been trying to get rid of these cases. And if y'all really paid attention to what they tried to do to Fannie Willis, that was some sinister shit. They were trying to like, oh well, she was hooking up with this man, so trying to put her business out in the street. to like say, well, they being biased. I was like, this has nothing to do with the case, but I will always appreciate the fact that she was like, oh, y'all having the case about me without me? Hold up. Let me come into the courtroom. And whatever you got to say to me, you say it to my face. And that, to me, that will be historic. If y'all did not watch that day when Fannie Willis came into the courtroom and pretty much laid it out to one of Trump's lawyers that she and that lawyer was not ready for that. That y'all in for a treat. You can watch it probably somewhere on Twitter as well as YouTube. But I love the fact that Fannie Willis was like, no, you're not gonna do this to me. I'm gonna it was literally like a skit. Like I was like, does Shonda Rhimes write this moment? Because she literally walked into the court and said, Judge, can I approach the bench? Can I since they're talking about me, let them ask me the questions. That was wonderful. That was beautiful. So should we be worried? We should always be worried to a degree, because if the old guard is leaving, who's going to stop them from doing whatever? But I also think because they have not, but they are also showing everybody that they have not been able to do anything. I think one of the Republicans was like, what can we even run on? We haven't achieved anything. We have nothing. Everything we've done.
Well, like you, they don't have any kind of sympathy they can get from me. Like you have been playing this footsie. Even before Trump and Trumpism came into the power. So you created this monster that you can't control now. And I'm not saying Trump, but Trumpism. And now you're throwing your hands up saying, oh, I don't know what to do. Oh, it's y'all's problem now. Oh, you know, I'm sorry. You can't say, you can't create it and then say, oh, there's nothing I can do about it. So like, it's your fault. This is y'all's fault. And y'all have to sit with that and you have to take that to your maker when you all go. That a lot of these issues that we are having now and this rise of authoritarianism and fascism that's not just happening in the US, it's happening worldwide, is just on y'all's watch.
Yes, and also people pay attention to the states. The fact I was at a conference where now they can't even talk about diversity and inclusion in certain like in certain states, like in college. That's under fire. Texas and Florida, they can't even talk about it. They can be fired. They can lose their jobs. Also, think about the fact they are still going after women and their abilities to have access to abortions and what have you. Which it's interesting because it's become a losing battle because that cost them 2022.
And red states and red, the reddest of states in Ohio, here in Kentucky, and Iowa, like these are losers when it comes to putting these abortion bans in a general election. And no matter how you clean it up, is it a 6 week or a 15 week ban? Who gives you the fucking right to say what I can do with my body? Like, first, you don't want the ban, or you said abortion is illegal and all life is precious, yada, yada, yada. Okay, if we're supposed to believe that, then why did y'all act the way y'all did when we were in quarantine? When the CDC was saying wear a mask. Oh, it's my body. It's my choice. Yada, yada, yada. Y'all are doing all this huff and puffing and rah-rah. So is it this or that? Like, it can't be, oh, I'm only gonna the topic or the conversation is only gonna matter to me when it proves that my point is always right. Like, I'm just over it. And you know what? I'm not going to say that, but it was going to be really cruel, but.
Well, As I said, I'm always optimistic. I do hope something is at a turning point when it comes to Palestine. I do hope a lot of this stuff gets to a place and, Bibi, my God, if he does resign or what have you, that will be for the best. But that's
Oh,
a
Netanyahu?
yeah.
Okay.
That would be for the
Yeah.
best, everything else. And just a note, we have to please, I'm just going to say, please learn what words mean and what policies mean. You can't, the goal will be peace accords. We want peace accords, meaning that is the overall meaning of a complete ceasefire. And so if y'all please look up peace accords, understand what that is, because a ceasefire is a temporary thing. You want peace accords. That's all I'm gonna leave it at that, because a lot of y'all been trying to say lasting, permanent. You can't make that. That's like saying I want permanent
Temporary.
And I'm like, that's not how that works. So please understand that when Kamala Harris talked about that, because it was, and I felt so bad. It was somebody who got dragged on Twitter for this, and I think I dragged them too, saying like, how dare she ask for a 6 week? And we were like, honey, do you know what the definition of it means? Temporary was never meant. You can't make it. It's like you try to put tape on a broken thing, and that's temporary. That doesn't mean put more tape on it.
That's it.
That's not how that works. So again, y'all, just learn what words mean. Understand that. That's all I'm asking. That's all I'm asking. So you don't look crazy and you don't get cooked on Twitter for 8 hours. Just so make sure y'all understand what word. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. We want a ceasefire. We do. Because that means they can get the hostages out, they can get food in, they can get resources in, and then they can figure out what they're going to do. But these are fighting for what? Almost 80 years. I don't really know what else they got to say to each other, but I really wish they can get it together, get the hostages out, let people be free, let Palestine become powerful, and just can y'all have peace for at least a few years? Can y'all do that? Y'all do that over there?
Right.
That's all we want. Y'all handle it so our presidents don't need to be like, what are y'all doing today? They don't have to be doing that. But think about it. They've been doing that since what? Well, hell, for almost a
A long time.
long time. So every president since I've been alive have always, I think y'all can read a little bit about what Carter was doing with the situation. So this stuff been going on for my time since President Carter was up in the place. So I'm just like, y'all have to understand that this has been bigger than us. This is bigger than Biden. This is like, y'all, I know some of y'all love to hate him. That's become your personalities, but this is long before him. This is like President Jimmy Carter days, all the way up to now. Got really fucked up when we dealing with Reagan. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like y'all gotta learn history, know that stuff, and then keep the fight going.
Right. So I guess wrap up here because I guess it's a short episode today. Let's talk about X-Men 97.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the good. Did you see the trailer?
I saw the trailers and I will say I didn't get to see the first three, but I did see the first one.
Okay, what do you think?
I'm here for it. I can't say much. I'm here for it. Now I see some of y'all talking about, ooh, the art looks like, I said, y'all, I'm sorry, y'all like that was no shade, but y'all like that was great art in 1992. So I'm just like, come on now.
I like the art. I like
I
how
like
it was.
Well, people are complaining about the newer shows, and I'm like, well, y'all, it doesn't look like the same. I'm like, well, that's to be honest. I was like, the 1992 show.
There were some issues with their art. Yes,
Yeah.
exactly. I think like 97 has like a juxtaposition between the 2D and the 3D type of art animation. I'm here for it.
Yes, you will be
Now,
here for it. I will say that you will be happy with
oh
it.
yeah,
You'll be happy.
I have some theories that Jean Grey, that's not Jean Grey. I don't think that's Jean Grey, especially when Mr. Sinister is supposedly the big villain of season one. I think that's like a Madeline Pryor or one of her mini clones or whatever the fuck happened in the comics. That will be an issue on down the road.
Well, now,
Hold
if
on, let me ask you, have you seen some of the episodes already?
I just sleep one.
Just one. Okay. Okay.
Now, for those of y'all who are new to it all, because I've seen some of y'all talk about who is this clone, this Jean Grey clone, and I'm like, I have to remember that some of you babies have not watched the cartoon or read the comic, and that's okay. But Madeline Pryor is a clone of Jean Grey in the comic when she goes Dark Phoenix, and we think that she has killed,
She killed herself.
killed herself on the moon, and she's gone. But she's not gone. She's healing in the Jamaica Bay,
Not her in Montego Bay.
which we will find out later, a few, like I think 8 years in time, that when you find out later, she is alive. I think it's less than that. I think it's like 6 or something like 6 to 7 years. But Sinister had got some cells of Jean Grey and made his own clone. His goal was to make someone as powerful as her, maybe even have the gene, but also the X gene, but also to have a child, a powerful child with Cyclops, because Cyclops was once in his clutches when, as a child. He wanted to have a powerful kid, so Madeline Pryor was made, and she was sent out there. She got Scott caught up because she looks just like Jean. They eventually got married, had a kid, Cable, and all that. But then Jean Grey came back because the Fantastic Four and the Avengers found her in the Jamaica Bay, found her, brought her back, realizing that she was not Phoenix. Phoenix made a clone of her and let her heal from the radiation she was that she got hit with when she was trying to save the X-Men on the ship. Big story, big stuff. But it comes out that Madeline Pryor, Jean fought. They fight again recently, but they have healed their wounds. They have like come
The
together
truth.
like sisters, kind of. Not really, but yeah. So that's where we are today. So is, and they mentioned she's the Goblin Queen. So something's going to happen to where we got the Goblin Queen and Madeline involved. And we do see a baby. We also see a pregnant Jean. It's gonna be something else. I'm just gonna leave it at that. It's gonna be something else. I'm excited for it. Now, some of the voices are not the same. We don't have all the voices from the original cast, but we do have some of the original voices.
Yeah, Storm is back, Wolverine, Rogue. I think there's more. I know Cyclops' original voice actor had passed away. Apocalypse. I would hope that they do not bring Apocalypse back, only because everybody's when you say Apocalypse X-Men, you John Colicos is synonymous with Apocalypse. And so I think that since his voice was so iconic, there's nobody that can top it.
Yeah.
So just and do him justice, just leave it alone. But X-Men is set to debut, I would say March the 20th, so this upcoming week.
Yep, it's this week, y'all. Y'all about to see it. Oh, it's gonna be exciting. Everybody has renewed their subscription to Disney Plus and
I
everything.
just pirate it. Well, I don't want to say pirate the shit, but work your magic.
Yeah, so I will be watching.
I will definitely be watching.
And we'll be talking about it too. We'll be talking about this because it's gonna be something else. And the little clip they showed of them fighting the Sentinels. And y'all remember in the first, I think the first episode or two of the original, they were fighting them. And
They
shot.
fight them both times.
Yes.
The first episode is when Morph died, but then they went to go get their looks back.
And it's gonna be neat because in the little clip that y'all saw, you saw Rogue really being Rogue the way that she is meant to be, just fighting and throwing stuff around. You're gonna see Gambit take off his shirt a couple of times.
He's such a whore.
So it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be really fun. I know some people are upset about the Mohawk.
I don't mind it.
I don't mind it either. And it's like, why would she even have that? And I was like, remember y'all when they did the episode of Days of Future Past in the cartoon, she had the Mohawk and that thing tied around her, that headband, but she had the Mohawk then. And also to quote, not to completely quote her, but in the comics, she have said that that Mohawk comes back when she's at a change in her life. And that's something that she just always do. She's done it at least 3 to 4 times in the comic throughout the years due to these changes. And so it is what it is. Let's enjoy that. I don't, it doesn't bother me. I'm just excited to see this, see it all the way through. So yeah, we will be talking about this. But not only that, the comics are going through a big change as well. The Cohen Age is over. That is, for those who don't know, that is when Storm, Wolverine joined the X-Men. They were brought together by Xavier to go save the original X-Men on that island, which is the Living Island. But now that has become, that whole island has become the home and the Mecca for mutants. But now that age of that has been destroyed through Orchis. You have to read the comic. But now they're going to a new age where it seems like they're bringing back the mansion, which a lot of people are not happy about. But there's going to be launches of new comics, and I think some of y'all saw over, I think the last few days, the announcement of that with Gail Simone and a few others writing the new X-Men comics. Nick, from what you saw, what did you think? How do you feel?
I am excited for the new story. If I remember what I saw, because I'm gonna be honest, it was so much that I was intrigued about. I just don't know how they're going to do it. And especially, I'm interested to see what Gail Simone can do with these and how modern she can take these stories. Don't know. I don't have any kind of expectations, especially since I'm just now like getting into reading the comics. So I will take them for their word and what they'll do.
It's funny because if you pay attention to Twitter or any social media, everybody's like up in arms. And they haven't, no, nobody's read the comics yet, but everybody's up in arms about it. They really like the Cohen Age. And I get it because they've been showing a picture of Storm in a suit where it looks like they've gotten rid of her texture hair and all that stuff. I'm like, just let's just wait to see. But it does look very interesting. We have brand new and brand new era coming after old age, because they have to fight, Nimrod and a few other folks. They have to, and as well as Dominion. And that has been a big kind of interesting story, a little difficult. But it's going to be something to look at. But I feel like this is kind of really pushing the X-Men to a level where they will be, kind of brought into the MCU, because this is kind of their way about to do it, to do that. But there's going to be fun with it, and I know some people are going to be a little bothered. But just be open to it. I think it's going to be fun. We are still, we're still going to see what happens when these teams are together. The different looks for some of these characters. We have new characters coming in. So I really want people to be open to, seeing what the X-Men is going to look like, especially when we have, similar ones coming out. Like, if you, those of you who have read past things like X-Force, we have a new X-Force coming. We'll have a new NYX. I'm saying that totally wrong, but that's coming out. But also, Storm will have her own series. Phoenix will have her own series. So we're going to see so many different types coming out from this new era. Now, I'm not sure who's writing the Storm one, but hopefully it is a good story, a good writer, that tells the story. We don't really know what that's about. We know there's going to be a Phoenix story, and we don't know much about that. So it's going to be a little fun. It's going to be a little crazy, but I'm open to it. I mean, the X-Men go through changes almost every 5 to 10 years. So it was time.
Right. And I think our last bit of X-Men news, since we don't have to talk about a girl. So last week, was it last week that this happened? The was he the executive producer or executive director, or let me just look at this
What?
Anyway, the showrunner, sorry, of animation hit Bo DiMaio, DiMaio on X-Men 97 exit stage left for Marvel. It was announced that he was let go. They terminated his contract with him, and there was no other information at the time. Which was kind of odd since X-Men 97 is set to debut this week. And what was even further odd is that he deleted all of his social media accounts. And people's radars like went up, especially mine, because it didn't make sense of some of the reasons that people were saying that he got fired. Like there was a reason like oh, they found out his OnlyFans. Well, his OnlyFans predated his hiring date with Marvel. So if they wanted to find out that information, that was readily accessible. And two, his OnlyFans was like PG-13. So that I don't think that's it. Another reason came up was he was a writer and producer on The Witcher, and he was hard to work with and kind of basically an asshole on the set. And again, they knew that was easily findable information. So And I don't think it could be that too, or that either. So I'm thinking it's like something along the lines of like sexual assault.
Well, I don't know, and it's hard to speculate. It's really hard because a part of me is like, if that's not it, he had to have done something so serious. But then haven't we not heard, for example, some white counterparts being hard to work with or being this type, and they still get opportunities to produce and write and all that great stuff. So I don't know what it could be. But it is scary to think it could be something like assault, or it could be something where he was very inappropriate, and something just went wrong. Now the fact they kept this hush is interesting, because I was thinking this would have been out by now, because it's a black person, so I'm surprised it wasn't out one day, to be like.
Right. That's another thing. Like if it's as bad as people think it is, why did they sit on it for so long and then jeopardize their own release of their property? So I'm hoping it's nothing serious. I hope it's just like I deleted all of my social media accounts. Not to answer the same damn question a 1 billion times. Maybe it's just as simple as that.
Because he And interesting enough, I think his last post was him in the leather jock strap. So that's why I was like, well, that's an interesting way to end it all. But even his post wasn't like his post was nothing really compared to what we see on the regular. So
I don't know.
and it's hard. I mean, a lot of people have already made comments. So I'm like, well, I can't make a comment. We really don't know. We don't know anything. We really don't know anything. That might be up to him. He might be the one to have to tell it. But I don't know, because like I said, part of me feels like because he was a black man, I'm really shocked that stuff wasn't out as soon as possible. But I guess we'll find out. I mean, it's getting too close. And I don't know what he's under contract to say, because maybe he can't say anything either. So yeah, this is, oh, this is a lot. Now it's really hard because again, this was a black gay man in a very prominent role. We don't have that many. There's only a few, and so we just don't have many people who are in that. And he was so excited at Comic-Con when they were talking about this. Like that room was standing like packed.
Oh, I bet. I bet.
And so when they were showing pictures, if y'all remember just the pictures alone, people were excited. And oh goodness, I just hope for the best. And I hell, who knows, we might get him to come talk about it here on the show. Like, what
That
happened?
would be kind of cool.
It was like, yeah, what happened? What can you share with us? Now, like I said, hopefully it's not like any sexual assault or misconduct, because that's the only thing I can think of that will get you this thrown off like that.
I mean, he already killed somebody, but
Well,
hope to God it wasn't that. Jesus.
goodness, so we just don't know, and it's really disheartening because again, a black gay man in a very prominent role, and this is how it plays out. So.
Well, do we have anything else to talk about today?
I was going to mention TikTok, that whole issue about why that was up in Congress and who brought that up.
It's
It's
very unserious work.
it is it's I will say, let's not ban TikTok, but let's ban some of these TikTokers. How about that? You can get some of them off. Get some of them who've been telling lies and talking about how they got sympathy for Osama bin Laden. You get rid of them. But TikTok is a thing. People do go on there. I go on there to look up, if you want to watch, Pimple Popping,
Gross.
Recipes. No, I like pimple popping. Recipes. Or even, workout tips and stuff. It's good for stuff like that. It's good for stuff like that. Now, some other stuff is a little bit much.
I think it's a good entry point for this younger generation to learn about how, like, real information, not this whole scrubbed down, homogenized information they try to put through the usual forms of media. Like, I think social media, like a TikTok, like Twitter, is helpful to tell the people how shit really is. Because before Elon had even bought Twitter, I remember finding out about all of these protests around the world. Like, I think what happened in South Korea those years ago. I remember people in the Middle East were telling folks here, like in Ferguson, how to, if you got pepper sprayed, what to do to get it out immediately. Stuff like that kind of information passing back as fast as it was is one of the a reason why social media is so good when why social media, when it's used correctly, is so good. And you can drown out the noise and the bullshit and get right down to the point when it comes to TikTok and these little videos. So I don't under, I know why they're doing it, but we're just gonna find another way.
There has to be another way to deal with this. I get it. Like, yeah, you want to get the Chinese government out of it, because if it's what banned in their own country, but yeah, it's in ours. I'm like, there's some. I have some doubts with that. But if they, well, hell, didn't the Trump's old Treasury person talk about he wants to buy it? I'm like, oh,
Yeah.
him and his non-acting wife. So, but she claimed she was an actor. She was barely in anything. But I was just like, this is a little bit ridiculous, but I understand what they're trying to do. Can they do this successfully? I don't know, but I will say, if anything, TikTok just regulate who's on there, because recently there's this white woman who just got called out for lying about being thrown out of a bar, and she used TikTok to tell a story. And again, I bring up the whole Letters to America, that whole issue where people were praising or trying to have sympathy for Osama bin Laden. And I'm like, okay, I mean, that's with any social media. There's going to be folks who are just misled and just doing things for likes and retweets and what have you. Let's be wary of them, but let's not try to, throw out the entire tub or however, let's just get that dirty water out and figure out how to get some clean water in.
That's an analogy.
So yeah, I mean, this whole TikTok was funny. I have to say, Nancy, I love you, but that what you was talking about was not.
Girl, if you don't sit your old ass
I was like,
down,
I'm not today, not today, not today.
like,
It's like, not today. You can go sit down. Just be like, all right.
but thank you, nerd.
Yeah, I would be like, next. Can we, like, I need to eat, because y'all have been talking about this mess.
Like,
All
it's time for
time.
your medicine.
Yeah. But yeah, that was pretty much it, and set well, and not really a story, but the American Society for Magical Negroes flopped. It barely made $1 million this weekend.
Well, when you do one thing about some tables, they're gonna turn, honey.
That's what happens when you
Do super shit. That's yeah. So you don't even
opportunity
have
y'all
to say
had
anything.
to make something, y'all just did not do it. And the last thing I will say is this: Black writers, when you get an agent and when you get editors and everything for your book, you make sure that you are involved in whatever they are doing to your property. Don't let them claim your book as one thing when it's not, because the last thing you want is all your reviews to say the same thing about that. So I don't know. You know, in 2020, that's when a lot of agents went after Black writers and gave them literally deals. And you know, gave opportunities to write their books and what have you. And then what we also saw was, if y'all remember the hashtag publishing made me, or publishing paid me, sorry. And the truth about what that was, we're about to see some of that again. And I really want y'all to, Black writers, creators, I really want y'all to have conversations with your agents, have conversations with your editors, because that's your name and that is your legacy out there. If you are letting them kind of spearhead it to a point where that's no longer you, find your new agent. But don't sacrifice your integrity because you want to be seen. And I'm gonna leave it at that. But it's gonna be some stuff coming out soon, and y'all gonna see all types of. There are already reviews. I'm just saying, y'all just get ready. So that's why I'm just saying, for those of you who have things coming out, or if you just got your agent, and this will be coming up at WonderCon too. I think there's going to be a panel about this. Make sure you really have conversations about your work and your and the things that you create. Because if you're not careful, they will remix what you're doing, and it's not what it is. In some ways, this is what happened with this movie, but let's just make sure that anything that we do that is Black, it feels that way. And that came up a little bit more during Oscars too. Cord Jefferson, who won the Oscar for Best Adapted Screenplay for American Fiction, has talked about this, and we've had people on the show that has talked about this as well. But if you get a chance to listen to any podcast with what he's talking about, because he mentions this too, about how we have to be careful about our creative work. So I know that's a lot of crypticness to it, but it's just something that after Cord said something about making more of, you know, Black stories, you have to make sure that these Black stories are being told properly at the end of the day. So yeah,
Exactly.
please do. Please do, because we want to support all things Black. You know, as Issa said, you know, I'm rooting for everybody Black, but y'all have to make sure that you have a handle on what you're putting out there. You have to. We can only go so far,
Exactly.
you know. There's only so many slave movies we can watch. There's only, you know. And maybe we'll have a whole episode about this, but we've never had a John Hughes type of storytelling. You know what I mean? Like, we've never had Black teen life that didn't involve being shot up and living in Compton. And, you know, think about, because someone asked me, what was your coming to age Black movie for me? And I was like, Boys in the Hood. It was literally all we had from at my time. Cooley High was one of the last, you know, think about coming of age Black teen movies. There's only a handful. Inkwell, oh, I can't, the one that has, it's like it goes back and forth. It has Taye Diggs and all them in it. I can see,
Oh, the wood.
yeah, The Wood, hell, Cooley High, Boys in the Hood, Menace to Society. There's not a lot. Thank God for Moesha and some of the other stuff, because we really did not have any of those things. So again, I'm going on a tangent here, but that's just Black folks, creatives, just make sure your stuff is just in going the right direction then.
Exactly. And I think that brings it into our show today. Like always, you can find us all over social media at Megashane or Megashane1. If you would like to follow our personal accounts on X or Twitter or whatever, I'm at WebPorterSay, Richard's at WonderMan5. You can like, rate, subscribe to the podcast wherever your podcasts are downloaded. Is there anything else before we get up out of here?
No. Again, we'll, come back. We'll talk more about the X-Men because that's all next week. Get excited for it.
All right, y'all. Y'all have a good one. Bye.